want you to take a couple minutes before we dive in here and think about some of your most favorite holiday traditions or Christmas traditions. I'll share with you a couple of mine really briefly. Actually, one of these came up this week. Grace always keeps me on my toes with some of the questions she asks, and she said, "Dad, why do we have to read from the Bible before we open our presents on Christmas? We've heard that story a lot of times. Do we need to read it again?" I said, "Yeah, we do. We're going to read it every year. That's something we do. Christmas morning, we wake up and we gather around and just read Luke chapter 2, or most of chapter 2. And it's powerful. It's just simply reading, but it's powerful. It's pretty emotional for me usually. And this is something that my dad started. You know, I remember as a kid, before we did anything, that's what we would do. We would read Luke chapter 2. And then when I married Barbara, she started this tradition that mostly her and the kids do. I kind of watch from afar, but I see a lot of value in it. They make a birthday cake every year. And, you know, obviously the birthday cake is for Jesus. And it seems kind of insignificant, but for me, it makes me pause and think. And it reminds me that Christmas is a time to celebrate. And the reality is we celebrate the birth of Christ, but we also get to celebrate our birth, our second birth. It's like the line in Hark the Herald Angels Sing says, "Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth." And so this celebration of Christmas isn't just about the birth of Jesus. It's about us being able to be reborn or born again. And so last week when we started this series, I told you like Christmas presents us with a kind of a choice, a question that we have to ask, what are we going to do with Jesus? Because the things we talked about last week was that Christ existed before Christmas. We know John calls him the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He's an uncreated being that existed with God, who was God from the beginning. So he is really there before Christmas. But then Christmas comes, his birth comes, and it kind of signifies this new creation that we are invited to take part in, that we get the opportunity to say, yeah, I want to be a part of that new creation, or I don't. And so the question I posed was, what are you going to do with Jesus? And so this week, we kind of dive a little bit further into that, because the section that we're going to kind of read through today, it deals with this idea of being born again. It's kind of a term you hear out there in society. Sometimes you can drive downtown here and see the signs or the people on the corner saying, "Are you born again?" You know, and so it's like, what does that really mean? What does it mean to be born again, born of God? And I'll be honest with you, I think this is a question that we wrestle with in the church. I think it's something that we really misunderstand to some degree. And so today we're gonna talk about that kind of in reverse order, though. We're gonna start with the kind of the product and then end with how it begins, because that's how John does it in this writing. So I want you to turn to John chapter 1, and I'll be up front with you. I'm skipping verses 6, 7, and 8, okay? Verses 6, 7, and 8. I'm going to go down to verse 9. 6, 7, and 8 is simple. It's just John the baptizer, you know. Hey, he came as a witness to testify concerning the light. You know, we talked about three things last week, the logos, the light, and the life seen in Jesus. And so that section says, hey, John the Baptist is like, here's the light. He's here. I'm not the light. This is the real light. And so today we're jumping into this section, and it kind of ends that first part of the prologue. It ends the creation section of John chapter 1. So here's what John wrote. If you have your Bibles, great. If you don't, I know the Facebook post yesterday didn't have the link on there initially, but I think I got it added. So you can find the link that has the ability for you to go to this event on the YouVersion Bible app, and you can follow along there. I have all of the scripture outlined there. So this is what John said. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Now, I want you to just take a moment to kind of circle that word recognize, and then we'll move on. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And I would make a mark there, did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, mark that, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So this, if you remember last week, this whole first section of John, from John chapter 1, verse 1 to John chapter 2, verse 11, John does something very interesting. He breaks it into seven sections, and seven is a kind of an important number in the Bible. If you go back to creation, there's 7 days of creation. So this number seven is huge. And John breaks this section into seven sections, and the first section is creation. And this is the ending of that section. And if you remember the graphic that we put up there, in the first two parts, the creation part, and when we get to next week, we'll talk about the Exodus part. There's a pattern. There's like creation, witness, choice. And these verses today fall in that choice section. And so what we need to understand from the beginning is that choice is kind of a pattern we see develop in the Bible, and it's a pattern that we experience in our own lives. And it starts in the original creation narrative with creation is presented, it presented humanity with a choice. And that choice was life or death. You know, God prepared a garden and placed man in the garden, and he said, look, all the trees you can eat from, except this one, don't eat from this one, because that leads to death. And so we see, eat from anything else but this one, and you'll have life. If you eat from that one, you're surely going to die. And humanity's presented with a choice, and they choose death. And so here we get to the birth narrative that John has, which is different than Matthew and Luke, but it's so important. We see that we are presented with a choice. And that's what we're going to unpack today. So this is how he starts. He says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And this is huge for me, because John adds an adjective in here in front of light. You know, up to this point, he's just talked about light, light, light. And then we get to this section and he adds that true light. And in the Greek, it's alethinos, which the NIV has translated true. It could also be translated as real or authentic. And what's fascinating about this word in the Greek is that in the entire New Testament, it is used 28 times. But 23 of those 28 times, it comes from John's writings. So it either comes from the Gospel of John, the letters of John, or Revelation. So 23 out of 28 times, John is responsible for talking about this idea of alethinos, real, authentic, true. And so he says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And right here in this verse, we see that we have kind of competing views within the world. And the reason John adds this is because in the Greco-Roman world, there was this thought, and it was systematized by Plato. You can read some of Plato's writings, you'll pick up on this. So in the Greek world, they had this idea that the world they inhabited was like a shadow world. It was like a pattern. It was patterned after another world, which was perfect. And the world that they lived in was like the imperfect model of the perfect. And their goal in that society was like, how do we get from this life that's not really perfect into the real life that is perfect? And the problem that they encountered was death. Like, we got to get past death to be able to get to that life. And so John like addresses this issue head on. He's like, you know, that real thing that you're looking for, that perfect place, it's actually not a place. It's seen in a person. It's Jesus. He is the real light. And he is available to anybody. And so this is groundbreaking stuff, because up to this point, the Messiah talked about by the Jewish people was for the Jews. Like, in their mind, it was like, he's our Messiah. And John says, well, wait, there's this true light that is coming into the world. And he's going to give light to everybody. So regardless of your ethnicity, you can leave this kind of world of imperfection and enter into this authentic place through him. And then we get to this section where he says that he was in the world, this light. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Now, I ask you to circle that word recognize. This is a poor translation of this word. And some of you, if you pick up, I think it's the Pew Bibles, it's the English Standard Version, that they will say the world did not know him. And for me, that's key. Like that's a proper translation. It's actually not that they didn't recognize, they didn't know him, okay? Because when you read through the New Testament, you'll find the people actually recognized who Jesus was. I think it's Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, when Jesus goes to his hometown and he starts doing these things, the people are like, wait a minute, isn't he the carpenter's son? So they recognized who he was, but they didn't know who he was. And so the goal that we find in this is like, okay, there is a perfect creation that you can enter into. And what the purpose of that is, that purpose of that world is for you to know Jesus, know God. That's God's desire for us, is for us to know him. And sometimes in the church, I think we settle for recognition. But there's a huge difference between recognition and knowing. I was at the National Junior Hereford Show several years ago now in Indianapolis, and I got to walk around, and I was back in kind of like the makeup arena area, and I was standing there looking at some calves, and I was standing next to this guy. You've heard me tell this story before, I'm sure some of you. Standing next to this guy, and I was like, man, I recognize him from somewhere. I recognized him. And I kept scratching my head, like, I recognize him. Well, I walk over to a couple buddies of mine, and like, hey, do you know who you were standing to? I was like, well, I recognize him, but I can't put my finger on him. Like, well, that's the lead singer of Alabama, Randy Owen. And so I recognized who he was, but I didn't know him, right? There's a huge difference. And the word, like, know means an intimate, deep understanding, knowledge. And oftentimes, this word is used in the context of a marital relationship, how a husband knows his wife or a wife knows her husband. And so the goal of this real world, this kind of new creation, is God wants us to know him, not recognize, know him deeply, understand him as much as we possibly can. And so now we get into this choice section, like, okay, they didn't know him. That's the problem. He wanted them to know him. They didn't. And then we get to the choice. He said, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And so here we are now. We know creation presented humanity with a choice between life or death. Now Christmas presents us with the choice. And the choice that we're presented with is kind of related to the question I asked you last week, what are we going to do with Jesus? Christmas presents us with this choice, to receive or to reject. Receive or reject. And I want to really dive into this idea of receiving versus rejecting. Because I think this is where there's some confusion within the church. Notice that John defines belief in verse 12. And he defines belief as receiving. He says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And so we see the definition of belief is receiving. So, you know, you hear those things around Christmas time, seeing is believing. And I think I said in a movie, the Santa Claus, the elf actually says, no, believing is seeing. Well, here's what I want you to remember this morning. Receiving is believing. That's a key. Receiving is believing. And I want to illustrate it this way. When we receive something, it's a lot deeper than just a mental assent. Okay, so I have this illustration. And I was hoping Gary would be here, but I think he's down in the back today. So pray for Gary. I love pocket knives. And I only have a handful. It's not like I have hundreds, you know. I just have a handful of them. But I have this affinity, I think, because it reminds me of my grandpa. I remember my grandpa sitting underneath a shade tree just whittling away with a pocket knife. And when I think of like receiving in the terms of the way John describes it, I think of it kind of like in this relationship I have with some of my knives. So I made a comment a few years ago now that, hey, I would really like to have a case knife. Barbara had bought me one, but I didn't want to use it because it was so nice. So Gary, he brings me one the next Sunday. He's like, here, this is yours. This has been sitting on a shelf and I don't ever use it. Take it. And so I have this knife that I carry around in my pocket. And if you would look, I mean, it's pretty rough. I use it in the garden. I probably should clean it up some, but I took it from Gary and I carry it in my pocket. Like I take it and put it there. And then Barbara's got me this, I think it was actually for Pastor Appreciation Month. And this is only the second time I've handled this thing. I mean, it's beautiful, right? And it says pastor on there. And so what I've done with this knife is she's given it to me and I took it and I put it on a shelf in my gun cabinet and that's where it sits. And so every now and then I'll walk by and I'll look at it, but I never use it. This one, on the other hand, I use all the time. And when we understand this idea of receiving, it's actually a word that means to take along or to carry off. And so John is encouraging these people, like, what it looks like to believe is to take Jesus along, align with him, use that. And the fascinating thing, you know, we're in this section about creation. John is pointing people back to creation and tying Jesus to creation and tying Christmas to a new creation. There's a work called the Septuagint. You might see LXX. If you ever do any in-depth study, what the Septuagint is, it's a Greek Old Testament. And it actually predates the Old Testament, where we get our Old Testament from. It's older. And in the Greek Old Testament, when you read the creation account and then you get into the fall, what you'll find is in that kind of where Eve sees the fruit, if you're familiar with the story, it says that Eve's tempted and she sees the fruit and she decides that it's good and she takes the fruit. It's the same word that John uses here. And so John is like, it's the reverse. Remember, we're talking about patterns. And we see that last week, the pattern was reversed because at creation, we went from death to life. But because of Christ, now we went at creation from life to death. And now because of Christ, we go from death to life. And now we see, how do you get that experience? How do you enter into that real, authentic life that God has called you to? Well, it's by reaching out and taking Jesus. Now it's not taking what God has said stay away from. It's taking a hold of him, making it part of your life, carrying it with you. And see, the reality is, when it comes to these knives, I get the full benefit of this one. The one that I carry, the one that I use, the one that's always with me, I get the full benefit of that one. This one's valuable, but do I get the benefit of the actual knife? No, because I told you, this is only the second time I've ever touched it. So I don't get the benefit from it. And sometimes I think that's the way we treat belief in the church. We want to take Jesus and sit him on a shelf so we can look at him occasionally, reference him from time to time, but we really don't take him on. And when we talk about belief, sometimes we communicate in the church, well, that's what we got to do. Just believe. Just say a little prayer. And then every now and then when things get tough, you just say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. That's what it means to be a follower. But John's saying, wait a minute, that's not what belief actually looks like. Belief actually looks like taking him on, carrying him with you so that his grace becomes your grace. His compassion becomes your compassion. His mercy becomes your mercy. And the characteristics that we use to talk about Jesus, those should be the characteristics that become who we are. And what does that mean? Well, that means that now, because of our choice, God acts on our behalf. And so this is the question that gets asked a lot of times. Well, really, is salvation up to us or is it up to God? You know, this is some arguments we have within the church. Does God choose who's saved and who's not saved? And I think the birth language makes it pretty clear. Like, in order to be born, for something to be born, there has to be two parties involved. There has to be conception, right? And so the way I think of this, being born again, like, it's a work of God that is conditioned on the choice that we make. When we take Christ along, when we take him on, something very powerful is conceived. And so when we actually believe, not in the sense that we're going to put him on a shelf and we're just going to reference him from time to time, but when we actually take him on, God then does a work inside of us and he changes our status. Okay, he changes our status. Notice that he says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That is huge. That is huge. This isn't something that we can do. Our choice does not make us children. Only God can make us children. And that's the status change. The status change is when we take Christ on, God says, okay, now you're not just creatures, now you're children. And when you understand what that means, that's pretty powerful. Now you're not just a creature of God. Now you're a child of God. And you get the full benefits of having him as a father. Not only do you get the full benefits, but guess what? You get the inheritance. And what's that inheritance? Well, it's that real life, that genuine thing that you've been looking for. Because at the end of the day, we are all like the Greek people. We all have our own worldview. We have a lens through which we try to understand the things that happen around us. We try to make sense of the things that seem broken. And so what we have to understand is sometimes in life we're confronted with this choice. We have to leave our worldview behind and take on the worldview that God has presented with to us. And then when we say, you know what, I think that one makes more sense than what I could ever come up with. I'm going to take Christ on. Now we're born again. Now we're given new life. And that's when we can reverse it and say, okay, because God does something special in us, because of the choice that we've made, we choose to receive rather than to reject. Now we get to that idea of we can know him. Okay, so I want you to write this down. We will never perceive him. We will never know him. We will never truly perceive him until we receive him. And so if you're going through life and you're like, you know what, I just have to understand more about Jesus before I actually take him on, that's backwards. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. If we really want to know who he is, we first have to receive him. We have to take him on first. And then the product of that is, oh yeah, now we really perceive who he is. Because if you think about the progression that even the disciples that he called takes, like you can see the progression they have. They choose to follow him, but they don't really know exactly who he is. And then as it unfolds, bits and pieces are like, oh yeah, oh yeah. And they know more and more and more about who he is and they become more and more like him. And it's the same way in our lives. Like until we receive him, take him on, then we will never really truly perceive him. But when we do receive him, we'll have moments where like, oh yeah, now I understand more about who he is. That makes more sense to me. And so here we are. The status change is not on our own. God does the status change. God changes us from creature to child. But we are still presented with the choice. And it's just, at the end of the day, it's the same exact choice that was presented to humanity in the garden. It's the choice between life and death. To receive him is to choose life. To reject him is to choose death. And that's where we land at Christmas. That's one of the things that is so powerful about this season. Remember, it's not the exact date that makes a difference. It's the stuff behind it. It's the idea that God in human flesh desires for us to know him so much that he came to us. We can never ascend high enough to reach him. He came to us. And he wants us to know him. But he's also a gentleman. And so he gives us the choice. Will you choose to receive? That leads to perceiving who he truly is, to knowing him, which ultimately leads to true life. Or will you reject him? And rejection ultimately, it leads to death. So, again, we're confronted. What are we going to do with Jesus? And I think that's a question that we have to wrestle with, not once, but every single day of our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the power of your word. And we know that we don't just read your word, but we can experience your word through the person of Jesus Christ. Thank you for allowing us to participate in a worldview that leads from death to life. And when we receive you through a relationship with your son, we receive real life, true life. You call it eternal life. And for that, we're grateful. May we really understand what it means to believe. That believing is receiving. May we take Jesus along with us everywhere that we go until his character becomes our character. It's in his name we pray. Amen.